If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from JELD-WEN. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all JELD-WEN windows today. View our entire selection of JELD-WEN windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
A fog-laden Kingsbury run, and the air thick with mystery as the city of Cleveland sleeps unknowingly. It's here, in this shadowy gully, that a gruesome discovery was made. One that would start a series of horrifying finds. Welcome back, friend, to Hometown History. Today's episode takes us to the year 1934, when Cleveland was at the center of a series of brutal killings. And yet, the identity of the murderer remains cloaked in darkness, much like the night skies under which the bodies were found. This is the case of the Cleveland Torso Murderer, also known as the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run. As we discussed, this started in the year 1934, and until 1938, almost 5 years later, a dark shadow loomed over the Kingsbury Run area in Cleveland, Ohio. To set the scene, Kingsbury Run was a bleak and dangerous place at the time, heavily populated by the poor and characterized by harsh living conditions. It was called a hobo jungle because of its reputation as a haven for transients and those living on the margins of society during the 1930s. So this area was located near somewhat disreputable spots, some known for bars, gambling dens, and brothels, and all of that sounds like a serial killer's ideal hunting ground. And that's exactly what it became. The first discovery was made on September 5th, 1934, on the shores of Lake Erie, where a dismembered and decapitated body of an unidentified woman in her 30s was found. All that remained were parts of her torso and thighs. And to add to the grim details, her head was never recovered. The condition of her skin, red and leathery, suggested the use of a chemical preservative. As horrifying as the nature of this body was, Cleveland law enforcement was not ready for what this discovery was going to lead to. Even though there was a long cooling off period after this, another discovery was made a year later, on September 23, 1935. Near Kingsbury Run, at the base of a place named Jackass Hill, lay the body of a 28-year-old male. It was identified as Edward Androssi, a hospital orderly who was known to frequent the area's rougher regions. Androssi's body was found naked, completely drained of blood, and emasculated, with visible rope burns on his wrists. And this time, the cooling off period was not that long. Either he was getting bolder, or just more bloodthirsty. On the same day, a few yards away, police discovered another body. A decapitated and emasculated male around 40 years old, also preserved with chemicals. By this time, the police knew that these were not unrelated crimes, and that they had an active serial killer in Cleveland. Then around 4 months later, on January 26, 1936, another body was discovered. Florence Palillo, a part-time barmaid and sex worker, was the next victim. Her remains were grotesquely packaged in newspaper and placed inside half-bushel baskets, which were left behind in the Hart Manufacturing Building, a place too busy to be the scene of the murder. It was now becoming clear that the killer was growing bolder with each murder, and that was a cause of concern, adding to Cleveland police's troubles. Later on June 5, 1936, the severed head of an unidentified male was found wrapped in trousers in Kingsbury Run. The rest of his body was located nearby the following day, dumped rather audaciously in front of the Nickel Plate Railroad Police Building. Just a month later, on July 22, 1936, in a secluded area near Clinton Road, the decomposing body of a man around 40 years old was discovered. Apparently, he had been dead for 2 months already, and his body just lay there, waiting to be found and identified. Unfortunately, he became yet another John Doe. But there was something unusual about this murder. There was blood on the ground where it was discovered, something that was not consistent with the previous murders. The presence of blood indicated that this victim was killed right there, probably in a heated moment, instead of the pre-planned nature of the last few murders. More and more bodies were discovered in the months following, mostly left unidentified and in similar conditions. All of the bodies that were found shared several similarities, the kind that marked the killer's signature. All the victims were decapitated, and many were also dismembered, with their heads often not recovered. In several cases, the bodies had been treated with a chemical preservative that left the skin with a leathery and red appearance. The male victims were mostly emasculated, in addition to the other mutilations, which meant that there was an element of sexual motivation in these crimes. Adding to that, most of the bodies were found completely drained of blood. All of these consistencies across the cases indicated a kind of methodical approach by the killer, which meant he planned all of this and most likely was enjoying it in his own sick way. And that reflected in the number of victims. By May 1938, the official count reached 11 when parts of an unidentified woman were pulled from the Cuyahoga River. This was the first time traces of drugs were found in the victim's system. Was she sedated before the murder? Or had she already been a habitual user? Who knows? But now, with a count this high, panic was inevitable. not just the number of murders, but the nature of these crimes. So motivated by seething hatred. It didn't help that the newspapers wouldn't stop fear-mongering, making Cleveland Police's job even harder. They were already working at max capacity, with all of the police's focus being on this mad butcher. But even after months of investigation, there were no concrete leads to be followed. Detectives Peter Marillo and Martin Zaleski were deeply involved in the investigation and conducted extensive interviews, speaking with over 1,500 people in their efforts to identify the killer. It is even considered that Detective Marillo went undercover as a vagrant to help speed up the process of gathering information related to the murders. Even after that, there was no real progress being made. So in the hope of improving the quality of the investigation, Mayor Harold Burton invited Elliot Ness to serve as Cleveland's safety director. Now, a little context as to why specifically Elliot Ness was invited in. Over time, Elliot Ness had built a strong reputation for his law enforcement career and accomplishments. He was best known for his leadership of the Untouchables, which was basically the team that helped bring down the gangster Al Capone in Chicago by aggressively targeting his illegal alcohol operations. Ness also had a history of fighting against corruption, taking on both the Mayfield Road mob and corrupt policemen, as well as tackling criminal activities and labor unions. So these achievements made him a prominent figure in law enforcement, leading Mayor Harold Burton to invite him in.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Now, since he had such an excellent record, there was a great deal of pressure on him to identify the Cleveland Torso murderer as quickly as possible. As the investigation moved on, two main suspects emerged, each with intriguing connections to the case. The first suspect was Frank Dolezal, a 52-year-old bricklayer who had personal connections to several victims. Dolezal had lived with Florence Palillo, one of the identified victims, and was also acquainted with Edward Andrassy and Rose Wallace, both victims of the murderer. Considering the fact that he knew the few victims that the police were able to identify, he was arrested and interrogated. Crazy thing is, soon after his arrest, Dolezal confessed to the murders. But that was not it. He later recanted this statement, claiming that he had been coerced through physical violence, and apparently, his broken ribs while in custody were good enough evidence to prove that. So the circumstances of his confession made the whole investigation, in conclusion, useless. But it doesn't end there. He also committed suicide under dubious circumstances, because he was found hanged in a way that seemed physically impossible, given his height and the height of the hook from which he was hung. It's worth noting that he was in jail at the time, so maybe he really did hang himself, or it was staged by the inmates or warden. The second suspect was Dr. Francis Sweeney. Now, he was a stronger suspect, and there was a number of factors that led to this. First and foremost, he was a doctor with the medical expertise that could explain the precise anatomical knowledge obvious in the dismemberments of the victims, which was one of the major parts of his modus operandi. Adding to that, Sweeney had several periods of erratic behavior and alcohol problems during his life, as detailed by his estranged family. So Ness secretly administered a polygraph test on him, using an early polygraph machine administered by its inventor. Now Sweeney reportedly failed this test, which was yet another thing that pointed toward him. But despite these circumstances, Ness could not move forward with charges due to the lack of concrete evidence, and maybe due to political pressures as well, since Sweeney was related to a local congressman. So the link of these murders to him could never be definitely proven in court, and that meant the police were back to square one. The police were clearly struggling, as you could guess. Identifying the killer was not that easy of a task, and apparently the killer wanted Ness to know that. On August 16, 1938, soon after Ness joined the investigation, the final known victims, victims 12th and 13th, were found within view of Elliot Ness's office. A rather grim taunt from the killer to the inability of police to arrest him. And this taunt was enough to push Ness a little over the edge. Ness organized a massive raid on Kingsbury Run's hobo jungle, where many transients lived, the type of people that became victims at the hands of this killer. So it was considered somewhat of a dramatic move. In the early hours, accompanied by a team of 35 detectives and police officers, Ness led a sweep of the area, detaining 63 men. But he did not stop there. He also ordered the shanty towns, which were the makeshift homes of many homeless people, to be burned to the ground. This decision was heavily criticized because it was seen as a desperate measure to smoke the killer out of their hiding place. But the collateral damage was far too much. The objective was reasonable, but the way he was trying to achieve that objective was too extreme. But here's the thing. It seemed to have worked. After the raid, the torso murders actually stopped. Now it is still unclear whether Ness's raid was the reason that no more victims were found, or if there was some other factor at play. Some people still believe the killer was Dr. Sweeney, because the time these murders stopped also coincided with the time when he voluntarily admitted himself to a mental institution. But then again, this was never proven. Whatever the reason, this marked the end of the brutal series of crimes that had haunted Cleveland for almost 5 years. And while there was some peace now for the people of Cleveland, the mystery of the identity of the killer still taunted the detectives. Maybe we just aren't meant to know. And that's all for today. The horror of the torso murders leaves us with many, many questions, but the reality is we're far beyond ever finding an answer. It is just another reminder of the depths of human depravity and the limits of justice. Thanks for listening to Hometown History, and be sure to follow along for more interesting stories from the past.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.